and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, some days I'm even impressed by my own show.
Oh,
what
really?
A big show we have coming up today. 6 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use that promo code Stephanie. Don't forget, Mama will be on The Edge Show tonight on MSNBC, 6 p.m. Eastern. In my relentless media whoring. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, associate producer Rebecca Taylor, or me, Stephanie Miller.
She's
it's
back.
Rebecca Well today.
Yes.
Is she back? Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
What? Did you have morning sickness?
I did. I ralphed.
Is there a little Taylor bun on the way? Or
no, I'm not pregnant, but if I was, it would be by, like, Buddy in Columbus or Kevin in D.C.
Probably.
Or Ross in Atlanta. Somebody, one of your listeners would get me pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Probably. Or maybe you were poisoned. Maybe you were poisoned by the same person that tried to poison the bushes. Maybe that was it.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'm sure somebody really cares enough about me to poison me.
I do.
Yeah, you're the only one I'm worried about. That's why I moved.
Yeah, that's why she moved an hour and a half away.
All right. Rebecca, hello, still working her hump off, sick. We have, what a show we have coming up today. We have our very first segment of Face the Grayson, our weekly Congressman Alan Grayson segment.
Woohoo!
Yeah, we have multiple jingles ready for him, don't we? We decided on it, and thank you for all your suggestions. It was very close with Amazing Grayson and Allentown, and it was this one for if we did it, Call Me Alan? I don't know who sent this. Is this
Face the Grayson?
I couldn't be a bigger fan of Congressman Alan Grayson.
Steffi. When you call me, you call me. Alan Grayson.
That one's nice. Is that Shano?
That's Shano, and Shano put together this other one, too.
Oh, would we like to debut it, or are we waiting a half an hour for the congressman himself?
We can debut it now.
Okay, let's...
Brace yourself for Face the Grayson.
I couldn't be a bigger fan of Congressman Alan Grayson,
right.
And we found out he's a fan of ours, and so he came on, and suddenly I wanted him to be mine. And we're living
in Grayson.
Thank you, Shano. It is Alan's world. The rest of us just live in it.
That's right.
So he will take your questions. That's coming up in less than half an hour. And then we also have Representative Kendrick Meek. He is the Democrat in the Florida election, which is very interesting. Charlie Crist is going to announce today, it looks like, that he is going independent, that he's leaving the Republican primary. So it'll be Marco
Rubio.
And him and Kendrick Meeks, who we'll have on in just a few minutes. We have actress and comedian Edie McClurg, whom we love.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
She just makes me happy. Every time I see her in a movie, I'm just happy.
You start
laughing before she even talks.
But, you know, she's known as this, you know, comedic actress, but she's been in some really hardcore movies like Carrie. She was in Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't ever get past the, you know, the... airline clerk in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, which is the funniest ever.
I think her funniest role ever was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off as the secretary.
Also, also funny.
Yep.
All right, and Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz, whom we also love.
Edie McClurg was also Mrs. Poole, the next-door neighbor in Valerie's family,
Hogan's family.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. So a big, big show, thanks to Rebecca Taylor, who, I guess, between barfing, made some calls yesterday.
Good for her. True that.
All right. And also, as you know, Rebecca, because you screen the calls here, anyone with an opposable thumb can call a talk radio show. And so oftentimes, they say things that are not, how do you say it, Chris, immediately confirmable.
Right. They throw some BS out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, there was a guy yesterday that said, I can't get a job, and I haven't had a job in 2 years because employers in Chicago have to hire 70% minorities, and then they make them all sit in a truck and not work so that so they don't get hurt, and then that's why I can't get a job.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we said.
Yeah. Huh?
Darren writes, Steph, I've worked for over 20 years on construction projects that require minority participation. I have never seen anything over a 20% level, and this is on special sheltered market projects. Most federal projects have participation requirements in the teens. Love, Darren.
Yeah.
Thank you, Darren, for that. Somehow that just immediately, Chris, yesterday we thought, that doesn't seem accurate.
No.
Employers are forced to hire 70% minorities.
Yeah.
All right. So we spend most of the rest of, you know, the next show correcting what was said in the previous show. All right. However, the good news is, guess what we got, kids? We have a brand new Step Aptitude Test, Advanced Edition. How about that?
All right.
Yeah. This is from Danielle. Mama, I must say I was mighty impressed with Tommy and Columbus's attempt at the Step Aptitude Test. Despite his pathetic attempts, however, I felt it was my duty as the official militant left-wing drunken Irish family member of the Stephanie Miller Show.
We needed one of those.
To prove what a real listener should know, as such, I have provided you with the advanced edition of the SAT, the Step Aptitude Test.
Mm.
All right. Are we ready?
Yes.
This is actually very good. This is Danielle has entirely too much free time. Number one, what is the name of the little girl who recorded Steph's favorite version of the Charlie Rangel impression, and at what age was she at the time of the recording?
Charlie Rangel.
Mm-hmm. A, Betsy, age 3. B, Audrey, age 4. C, Cindy Lou Who, age 7. D, none of the above. Steph ordered a robotic child to make herself feel like less of a childless loser.
Audrey. I remember her name was Audrey. I didn't know.
Thank you.
Didn't remember
it
how old
B,
she was.
It was B, Audrey, age 4. Exactly. Okay. Number two, this is really an obscure fun fact. During a 2008 trip to Florida, what item did Steph admit on the air to forgetting and therefore not using for the entire weekend? A, a toothbrush. B, underwear. C, a bathing suit. D, all of the above. She went skinny dipping at the beach, did the promotional gig Commando, and proudly sported Chardonnay breath all weekend.
Underwear.
No. Yes, actually, yes. All right. I think I forgot a toothbrush, too, though.
Ew.
It was Miami. Who can remember?
So you had fuzzy teeth the entire time?
Mm-hmm. Oh. You know, when you have you got the sweaters on your teeth. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude.
Number three, what is Listener Faye's official title? A, fantastic militant archaeologist, radical militant librarian, spectacular militant geologist, or D, none of the above. Faye is a figment of Steph's imagination.
Militant librarian.
B, radical militant librarian. Rebecca, you've met her, so she's not a figure. She's not an imaginary friend, right?
She's not. Rebecca had to answer a call on the hotline, so she's out of the room. Yeah.
Whatever. Number four, which one of the following was not a previous fill-in for Steph? A, Hal Sparks. B, Gilbert Gottfried.
No.
C, Elaine Boozler. D, Frangela. B, Gilbert Gottfried.
Yeah. Never...
That'd be funny, though.
3 hours of Gilbert Gottfried? Oh.
If Bob Clatt Goldthwait is not available.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the name of the bit that nearly cost Steph, Chris, and former voice DV Carlos Els Rocky their jobs? A, The Dutchman and His Sheep. B, Jesus Christ Superstud. C, Jay Leno Alarm Clock. D, none of the above, Steph's mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
No, all right.
That was
it was a B, Jesus Christ Superstud.
Yes.
And it didn't nearly cost us our jobs.
It did
cost us our jobs. Just FYI there, Danielle. Just a little, you know, a small detail.
It was sacrilegious.
Okay, number six. What strange noise can Steph make that weirds Chris as well as others out? A, flipper. B, double kitty. C, armpit fart. D, all of the above. Right. Steph is just freaking weird.
D.
actually, it's B. Okay. Double kitty. Yeah, that does. That weirds you out. Thanks. Flipper doesn't really weird you out. Okay. Let's move on. What song did Shano and DJ from the Empire State use to compete for the official title of Pocket Cub Producer of the Stephanie Miller Show? A, Bohemian Rhapsody. B, Rocky. C, Eye of the Tiger. I think B, it was Rocky. It was Rocky, as I recall. There was a...
What's it?
Pocket Producer off. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
Mm. What if... Wow. You failed the Step Aptitude Test.
And I played that audio.
This is people that pay more attention than we do to the show. That's
God.
Wow. All right. What is the real name for the following SMS nickname? Drunky McPuke Shoes. Oh, see, she already knows who they are. A, Drunky McPuke Shoes, Tom DeLay.
Mm-hmm.
B, Lying Sack of Cute, Dana Perino. Mm-hmm. C, Beefy McBratwurst, Denny Hastert. D, The Christmas Treasury Poo, Hank Paulson. Or E, noted Crystal Methodist, Ted Haggard.
Well, you just said the answers.
I know. I don't understand the question.
No, she wanted to know. It wasn't an A, B, C, or D question.
Oh.
It was a, yeah, you read the answers right after you read the nickname.
Well,
so.
That's the way she has it.
Okay.
I'm confused. They're all nicknames we use on the show. What was Steph's DJ name when on the air at WCMF, Rochester, New York? Bonus point, what was her co-host name? All right, my name, A, Missy Mischief. B, Sister Sleaze. C, Susie McSlutpants.
Should have been
D,
C.
All of the above. Steph hoarded up as much as possible during career. B, Sister Sleaze. And the bonus is Brother Weeze was my co-host.
Are all of the answers B?
Well, I think we'll get to that.
Oh.
We have one more. What pathetic toy did Steph counter Victor the Victory Elephant with? Oh, that was the pathetic 2004 Republican mascot. A, Winnie the Winning Whale. B, Larry the Landslide Lizard. C, Trampy the Triumphant T-Rex. D, all of the above. Steph sleeps with his collection so as not to feel like a pathetic loser. That was B, Larry the Landslide Lizard.
That's right.
And yes, in case you didn't know, all correct answers were B, according to Danielle in Fort Lauderdale.
Huh, that made it kind of easier.
Really entirely too much free time.
Really? All we used Rocky?
I think so. I don't. Yeah, Shane Owen Ken would know. I don't know.
Maybe Shane or Ken could call in and remind me of that bit. I really don't remember that.
18 minutes after the hour, Representative Kendrick Meek.
Actually, he will not be joining in. He had to go meet the president. So he'll be calling in a little bit later on.
How many times have
I
heard that excuse? All right.
All right.
We will prepare ourselves for Face the Grayson with Alan Grayson then instead as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you have any disgruntled employees?
Hell, they're all disgruntled. I ain't running a damn daisy farm. My motto is do it my way or watch your butt.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
If I hear that flimsy excuse one more time, I have to go talk to the president. I can't call into the Stephanie Miller Show.
More than one congressperson has used that excuse on us.
Well, the good news is now Rebecca will accept nothing less.
That's right.
She'll be like, do you have to talk to the president? Well, then why not? All right.
Maybe Debbie Wasserman Schultz will try that excuse later on in the show.
Yeah, you just try it, sister. Representative Kendrick Meek, who is running against Charlie Crist, the newly independent Charlie Crist, probably as of today, and Marco Rubio will call in later. Sorry, the president or whatever. 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I guess today is kind of an important day. That wouldn't be awesome if he pulls it out. That would be awesome.
That would be.
Tee-hee! Ha-ha, teabaggers! There goes another one!
Although nobody wins until they come on the Stephanie Miller Show. So
exactly.
So he'd better...
Well, I was just saying that Marco Rubio could get teabagged by the teabaggers now, since he's not for the Arizona law.
Yeah.
It would be hilarious. Charlie Crist got teabagged right out of the party, for God's sakes.
Although Rubio's, what, parents were immigrants? So, you know.
Yeah. All right, your pants are ringing. Let's go to Shirley in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, kids. I want to thank you with all my heart for bringing in Kendrick Meeks and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm a C-SPAN junkie. I've watched these people for years on the floor before.
Oh, you're a bigger geek than I am.
Oh, please mention 30-something. That's what they were called. Please mention it to them because I'm a big fan. I'm upset with the Democrats thinking of voting for Crist because what? He hugged the president. He also endorsed McCain.
And yeah. Kendrick, oh, God. And could he be a bigger pathetic flip-flopper on offshore drilling at this point?
Oh.
Did you see this? He ran on being against it. Then when John McCain flip-flopped, he flip-flopped with him.
And now
there's a big oil spill coming toward Florida, he's like, oh, now he's against it again.
But
you know?
We need to mention Kendrick Meeks because he's a wonderful congressman. And the fact is that I hear Democrats say, well, I might vote for Crist. No, 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 no. We're going
well, and Shirley, I want to find out why this, the financial thing, the ethical things are not hurting him yet. They may still, this Marco Rubio story.
Yes. And thank you for mentioning, having them on. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Me too.
Okay.
Me too. All right. Now you have to listen every minute because we just don't know when he'll be calling in. All right. Let's go to Keith in Palm Springs. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Keith.
Good morning, Steph.
Good morning, sir.
I want to thank both you and the Mooks for everything, and God Howell and John Fugelsang. It's great listening to you guys every day.
Thank you.
I want to call in about the Arizona law.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, about the only thing I agreed with Bush on was this guest worker visa program. I just think that we should know who's coming across our borders. If they can drive legally, they should be able to drive legally. I know it's cheap labor. Corporations want it. But at the same time, make sure they're not exploited. You know,
Yeah. This
sneaking across the border thing and being exploited and not knowing who's coming in our country and, you know, the drug war stuff and all the
gang
stuff.
Oh, I mean, absolutely something needs to be done. And I've said that for a long time. We need comprehensive immigration reform. So I don't know who was it. I think it was actually Jeb Bush that said, I think this is an opportunity, not a problem. And I agree.
Yeah. And it's just one last thing I'd like to say. It's just so sad to me as an American patriot to watch what's going on with a Republican Party constantly filibustering things out of the Senate. It's just, what's going on with this country?
I know. I know. Did you watch Rachel Maddow last night? The only thing they're scared of is cots. Every time they threaten to bring cots in, they fold like a deck of cards, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... What a bunch of tools. So they finally, I mean, this really, you know, Harry Reid actually said it right. It's anti-American, anti-Senate, the way they're conducting things
right there.
People, I think, that don't understand the workings of the Senate, Chris, don't even understand what they're doing. They're not even allowing debate.
Right. They're squelching.
On something that 65% of Americans want, which is financial reform.
They're squelching free and open debate on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, you know, they tried this and tried, and I think clearly public opinion finally gave way, and they, you know, allow. Oh, gee, thank you. You're going to let us talk about it now? All right. So anyway, that's a lot of stuff to talk about today on the financial reform. And Caribou Barbie spoke again. Chris,
oh God,
that means
no.
I will be forced to talk about her. I really would rather pour some sort of hot liquid on my genitals than have to, because everything she says is just stupid. And I don't even understand why we must dignify it. She said there is no ability opportunity for the new Arizona law to encourage racial profiling. Are you kidding? It is purely a racial profiling law. What do you mean? The president should stop perpetuating this myth. We will find out if Alan Grayson, Congressman Extraordinaire, is as irritated as I am by that and much more. And your calls, 1-800-STEP-12. Hop on the lines. It's almost time for Face the Grayson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wine in the morning.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, because you know it's Thursday, and you know what that means. It's time for our regular...
Brace yourself for Face the Grayson.
I couldn't be a bigger fan of Congressman Alan Grayson,
right.
And we found out he's a fan of ours, and so he came on, and suddenly I wanted him to be mine.
Grayson.
Good morning, Congressman Alan Grayson.
Good morning. That's a lot to live up to. I'll do my best.
It is Alan's world. The rest of us just live in it. You know how it is.
I like to share.
Thanks so much for doing this. I have to tell you, we've gotten tons of mail already. The people are it's like Christmas came early.
Well, mostly postage due, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, once again, thank God the Republicans have an irrational fear of cots, so they've decided to stop obstructing the financial reform, I guess, in the Senate, correct?
Well, you know, what happened is they filibustered way past their bedtime. They got really tired, so they gave up.
Exactly. Well, you know, at this point, you know, we were saying that I think it was Harry Reid said, you know, this is anti-American. It's anti-Senate. I mean, I don't think people that don't understand the inner workings of Congress get what they're doing. They're not even allowing debate on something that, that you know, 65-70% of the American people want, which is financial reform, right?
Well, we need it. You know, they brought us, the Republicans brought us to the brink of national bankruptcy. Now they want to take power again and finish the job. We're trying to prevent that from ever happening again. It's that simple.
Well, I mean, once again, I love, now you remember when they put out their budget, the one that it had really good graphics, but it had no actual numbers in it. So now they've apparently, they have some sort of alternative plan. That I don't really know what that is. I think
they're always complaining about the public educational system. You know, when you watch their presentations, you can see why. It certainly has failed them.
I think Senator Corker was even, you know, caught being candid on air. He said, I don't really know what the purpose is of this. Like, even he's admitting, like, their plan is sort of like, you know, just politics.
I don't even know why they use the word plan. It seems unfair to the word plan.
So what's next? So, you know, they're going to negotiate this in the Senate. I mean, once again, it's deja vu with health care, right? They're going to try to water it down. They're going to try to, you know, what was the thing? Oh, Senator Shelby thought that's entirely too much consumer protection that
right,
was in
yeah,
there.
The last thing they'd ever want to do.
Yeah, yeah. But what's your feeling having just been through this on health care? Are we going to get strong financial reform?
We'll get something, but I'm concerned that over and over again we see the Republicans doing everything that they can to help the lobbyists and to stop anything that's good for ordinary people. I think the pattern's pretty clear at this point.
Right. Well, you know, again, they either try to water it down, you know, drag it out so they can kill it, but it doesn't seem like they're going to succeed this time, do you think?
Well, what's happened is that they deployed lie after lie after lie with health care. I think maybe they just run out of lies.
At some point, we can always hope for that.
Yeah.
So obviously, the other big issue that's getting pushed to the fore is immigration reform with this awful Arizona law. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think it's racism, pure and simple. I grew up through a period when people understood the phrase "driving while black." Now you can get arrested for breathing while Latino, at least
yeah.
in Arizona.
Yeah.
And it's simply that. It's nothing other than that. Arizona is on the verge of becoming a majority minority state, where Latinos and Asians and African Americans outnumber whites, and the power structure in Arizona is very uncomfortable with that. I guess they think if they make Latinos miserable enough, they'll all leave.
Yeah, I mean, it really is, you know, you think, boy, if we were writing the script to have a Republican Party further alienate Hispanics, I mean, did you see this doctor from Iowa who is running in the Republican primary there for Congress? He talked about microchipping illegal immigrants like he does his dogs.
They just can't stand the fact that somebody's different from them. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, it's I love that, you know, they try to turn this around and saying the Democrats are playing politics with this. Hello, Republicans passed this law in Arizona. It's like, don't blame us if you're being bigots, right?
Well, look, that was Nixon's Southern strategy in the 60s. They've been playing politics with this issue way back, for 50
yeah.
years now.
Yeah.
That's what gave them the so-called Solid South.
Right. Well, how do you think this is going to play out, though? I mean, because obviously, you know, they're saying in some races, clearly it's going to hurt Republicans. In other races, you know, Democrats that are in conservative districts. How do you think the immigration reform bill is going to play out nationally?
Well, in the same way that this issue played out in California, that Latinos fled the Republican Party. If you look at the registration numbers in California, they become overwhelmingly Democratic because Latinos literally left the Republican Party and join the Democratic Party in droves. And now it's going to happen all through Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, and Florida.
It's the problem is, you know, we have people like Sarah Palin that unfortunately we're forced to react to every time she says something. So she blamed the president, of course, for perpetuating the myth that this bill has anything to do with racial profiling. She said there is no ability or opportunity in there for racial profiling. I mean, she just sort of continues to come out and say the opposite of what's true, essentially, right?
Well, at this point, I think she's just famous for being famous. I think that one day we'll see her on the revival of the Hollywood Squares, all those other people who are famous for being famous. You know, she What I expect is that she and Pamela Anderson and Paris Hilton will make three in a row.
All right, Lavender in Tucson, Arizona. You are on Face the Grayson. Go ahead, Lavender.
Well, Mr. Grayson, you do know that when Sarah Palin speaks, bats fall out of the sky, right?
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. I've seen him.
It's a soothing voice. It is.
I have a question for you, Mr. Grayson. What is the reaction to the Cubano community in Florida concerning this Arizona bill?
Well, I we have very few Cubans in my district. I represent Orlando. But I know what the reaction is. The reaction is it's horrifying to people. It's horrifying to think that in the 21st century we have racial profiling in America.
It's quite horrifying, but I think it'll be a windfall comes the election time.
Well, we'll see. But in the meantime, I want to make sure that people don't suffer for it.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, the other side has this amazing ability to withstand huge amounts of pain as long as there's somebody else's. And in this case, they're trying to inflict that pain on the Latino community. So I want to see the Latino community protected from that, regardless of the consequences electorally.
Yeah, they really... Sorry, Lavender. I was going to say, they really are the schoolyard bully. It's like, you know, they picked gays in the last election. It's just like it's almost like, you know, you're wondering, okay, which minority are they going to pick next to,
Which scapegoat? That's right.
Yeah.
Which scapegoat? That's what they do, election after election after election.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it over and over.
You know,
if there's something, if you don't have a job, it's the brown people. If there's something wrong with your marriage, it's the gay people. I mean, it really does play to our, to our worst instincts, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think they'll be hitting on pregnant teenagers next time.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think this Arizona law, I mean, it has been compared by, you know, even a lot of your fellow lawmakers, about black lawmakers, to apartheid, Jim Crow, to, you know, take your pick.
It's horrific all by itself. It doesn't have to be compared to anything. It's awful. It's racism, pure and simple. And this is the heart now of the right wing, racism.
Yeah. Congressman, Lavender brought up Florida. We're having Representative Kendrick Meek on later. What is your reaction? That's quite a scenario you've got going on in Florida. So Charlie Crist, by all reports, is going to go independent today. Do you think there's a chance that this teabagger, thing could explode on them again and the Democrat could win here?
Well, sure. I mean, we've got a teabag candidate running against me in my district. It's the thing these days. But what we've really learned from this is that a moderate Republican like Charlie Crist has no chance of winning his own primary anymore. There is a litmus test in the Republican primary all across the country now. You have to be an idiot in order
to win. What are you hearing about the Marco Rubio, financial scandal? Because why is that having no effect so far, and will it in the general, do you think?
Because the right wing only cares about whether you agree with them. It doesn't matter whether you're corrupt. It doesn't matter whether you're dishonest. As long as you agree with them on their so-called issues, like this idea that Adam and Eve wrote on the backs of dinosaurs, then if you agree with them on that, you're okay.
Yeah. All right. Mike in Santa Barbara, time to face the Grayson. Hello, Mike.
Hi. It's an honor to speak to all of you.
Well, you're half right. I mean, maybe that's true, Stephanie. I'm not so sure that's true. Maybe.
No, you're right on the other half, but go ahead.
Well, you're a true hero in Congress, Mr. Grayson. But I was curious. I don't hear much about the Medicare buy-in option that you introduced, your H.R. 4789.
Oh, good question.
We're working on it. What's happening now is that there's a lot of sort of health care fatigue right now. We got 80 co-sponsors for my bill. It's a very simple bill. It's 4 pages long. It says that if you want Medicare and you're willing to pay for it, you're in. It's that simple. It couldn't be any simpler. It turns out that it's quite economical, too. We got 80 co-sponsors the first week that I introduced it, but now everyone's feeling maybe we have to go a little bit slow. I'm pushing as hard as I can, and we're getting things done, but it may take a while. And we're really happy that people have gone to our website, wewantmedicare.com, over 50,000 last time I looked, and signed our petition saying that Medicare should be open to anybody who's able to pay for it and who wants it.
Well, Mike, great question. Thanks for doing my show prep while I was drinking last night, because it is very important. And you cannot let you're absolutely right, Congressman, that there's that health care fatigue. But your idea is seriously so simple, and that's why it's so brilliant. All right. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to Gila in Miami. You're on with Alan Grayson. Go ahead, Gila.
Oh, wow.
Time to face the Grayson. I know it's nerve-wracking, isn't it?
I just wanted to ask the congressman how he thinks Crist's announcement is going to affect the dynamics of the Senate race in Florida.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen immediately, Congressman?
I don't know. Is a congressman allowed to say that? The real answer is I just don't know.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I'm
sorry. Sometimes I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody was saying earlier, Congressman, that we hope Democrats don't fall in line behind a Crist. You know, I mean, look at his pathetic flip-flopping on offshore drilling at this point, you know?
He's a lifelong Republican. He can't get around that. But I think it's very interesting that his own party has rejected him, even though he's a sitting governor.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, one more. Mike in Phoenix, time to face the Grayson. Hello, Mike.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Congressman. You're my kind of congressman. And here in Arizona, I grew up in California. My friends are calling their Tea Party members, and what they're looking for is a riot. They've been expecting a riot to come out of this 1070 in Arizona. And I'll take your answer off the phone. Thank you.
Well, the right wing makes constant overt appeals to violence. Sarah Palin's at the top of the list when she's telling people to reload. Yep. She came to my district and told people to take me out as if I were a moose that she was shooting from a helicopter.
Yeah, I know.
On at this point, they've got nothing else. It's just hatred and fear, fear and hatred. That's all they've got.
Yeah, well, we've got Alan Grayson, so there. Congressman Alan Grayson, I thought our first segment, it was good for me. Was it good for you, too?
Oh, God, it was so good, Stephanie.
So good. Oh, my God.
Our very first segment of Face the Grayson, which will be our regular Thursday feature. Thank you, Congressman. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, there he goes. Congressman Alan Grayson. You know, it's Alan's world. The rest of us just live in it. Oops, I screwed up on the theme. Sorry. I was all giddy after that. I hit the hang-up button. All right. Woo-hoo! Okay, so every Thursday morning in hour number one of the big show, we will do Face the Grayson.
That's right.
Yes.
And if you miss it, it will be available after the show as a free download at iTunes and at StephanieMiller.com.
We are brilliant.
I know.
All right, 47 with the technology and the...
Whatever.
And
do you know how to download stuff from your own website?
No.
I didn't think
47
so.
Minutes. No. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! Golly, that sure was fun!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. It's the S&M Music Factory. Welcome to it. 1-800-STEPH-1-2-D phone number.
Did you used to say that on Hot 97?
Yeah, everybody.
Oh,
good
no.
morning, Bob, on Hot 97 in 1989. Good morning.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. I said that to a friend of mine on the phone the other day. I'm like, what the hell do I think I'm doing at my age? What, do I think I'm an ingenue trying to break into Broadway again? What am I doing moving to New York? Ushad, am I saying that right? In Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie yeah. Miller Show.
Yes, this is Ushad. Thank you, Stephanie. I wanted to say, I mean, you forgive me for being so cynical. I am a Democrat and an organizer of sorts. But you know, I see these people. He's like Grayson. I mean, he's wonderful and all, but I think he's kind of playing us for simpletons. They take these popular, controversial issues like health care, and, you know, we want Medicare for all. And then, you know, they don't push it really till maybe a couple of months before the elections and try and use it as...
Oh, but that's not true. I mean, Usha, wait. But no, you got to hold off for a second, because he did not do this. He already has 80 co-sponsors, and he's not doing this right before the election. He did it immediately. You know,
I know, but why is he not pushing it right now? Why are we what are we waiting for?
It's going through.
You know,
it's going through the House right now.
There are thousands of people dying because they have no health care.
Right, but the last person you should blame is Alan Grayson. He puts this. I mean, there is a process in the House. He is pushing it. He's got 80 co-sponsors. That's pretty huge. You know,
I'm not blaming people. What I'm saying is that a lot of these people are using us for, you know, to drum up support, drum up money, contributions, by kind of putting the issue out there at the right time.
The website is for the Medicare buy-in. It's not for him.
Pardon?
The website is for the Medicare buy-in. It's not for him. It's not campaign funds for Alan Grayson.
I'm sure that a lot of people out there know what I'm talking about, and that's how.
Right, but the last person you should be taking on over this is Alan Grayson. He brought this up right as health care passed to try to improve it. He got 80 co-sponsors.
Why did he sign on to the bill then? Why did he sign on to that fake health care reform bill that we have now?
Because he feels like many people that it's a good start, that it's not perfect, and that's why he put forward his resolution.
Well, I don't see how going 20 steps back is a good start. If we went one step forward.
Well, if you look at the history of Social Security or Medicare, speaking of Medicare or
well, we are not in that crisis situation. We were not in that crisis situation that we are now. I mean, we're not talking about people dying every day with Social Security.
Right.
You
well,
so,
obviously,
so, these are two different issues. These are different times. I mean, history has its value, but you don't always rely on history, you know, to determine what your current actions
right.
will be.
Well, I and many changes. People feel like this was better than nothing, and it was obviously not perfect. I'm a single payer person, but you know, I think that to take on Alan Grayson, who was one of the healthcare warriors and who has put forward really a brilliant. You know, way to improve this immediately, I think is the wrong target.
It's horribly misguided.
Wow.
Is
Jim here? We have our first Kyle of the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Medicare was partly instituted because old people were dying prematurely because they had no health coverage.
Well, I was just going to say, who says not having Social Security was not a crisis? I'd say that was a crisis.
That was.
And Medicare when it started.
Social Security was a crisis, the Great Depression. I mean,
and ask any black person you know if civil rights was a crisis before they had civil rights, you know?
What's the big deal? Oh, boy.
I've got something in my eye. Daniel.
Oh, no.
Daniel in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph. Hi, Mooks. I couldn't get on a little earlier. I wanted to ask Congressman Grayson why he thinks the Republicans can get away with all the things that they get away with.
Well, haven't, so they lost on health care. They're going to lose on obstructing financial reform.
Partly it's the corporate media.
Well, we were talking earlier on the program how they obstruct everything on the Senate floor, how they spread lies. How do you suppose that they can do that?
Well, because like we've been saying, I think the mainstream media is so afraid of being called the liberal media that, you know, I think they go out of their way to try to be.
I agree. Corporations own the media. They own the message. They own everything. They will advertise people into voting against their best interests. They do it over and over
and
over again, and it works and it works and it works.
Yep. So I think the good news is they're not getting away with it electorally thus far, but I agree with you that, you know, if you look at even the numbers, I mean, people are still confused about the health care bill.
Yeah.
They're kind of evenly divided, and that's ridiculous. That just says that, you know, again, during this health care debate, I mean, I did it. I get invited on TV all the time, and so, you know, you get put on with a right-wing person. All right, that's both sides of the story. We'll leave it there.
They're
lying.
No, I haven't even said anything yet. What are you saying? Leave it
where? Their side is not opinion. It's a lie. You know, it's like, yeah.
Also, the last caller says the corporations own the media. They don't own this show.
No,
not at all.
Nope.
No. We're not profitable enough to be owned by anybody big.
Oh, Vigalo, what do you think? Well, I think that we'll have to leave it there. What? Hey!
We'll leave it right there on the big fat right-wing lie.
Oh, bless Wolf's heart.
Yeah, well.
All right. Oh, whoops, I'm sorry. I'll have to take a call after the break. I didn't realize we're out of time. 58 minutes after the hour, back with more on the financial reform bill and the Republicans' fear of cots as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Awaiting Representative Kendrick Meek calling in the Democrat in the, Charlie Crist has announced he's jumping into a three-way with two other men today.
The exceedingly tan and neat.
Mm-hmm. He's going independent. Mm-hmm. We will talk to his Democratic opponent, along with actress and comedian Edie McClurg and Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. What a show!
We're Florida heavy today, aren't we? Mm.
Yeah, we loves us some Florida.
Yes, we do.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to hold an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. All right. What else are we? Mama will be on the Ed Show on MSNBC tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to tune in for my latest media whoring. Mm-hmm. You could email us all at thestephaniemiller.com like Paul did. Steph, okay, so those two guys from the Staples commercial go shopping at Goldman Sachs. Goldman Sachs. Wow, that's a deal. I know. Wow, that's a deal. This has to stop. Oh, that's funny. Uh-huh. See?
Staples, a fine sponsor of the Stephanie Miller newscast.
Exactly. All right. The Stephanie Miller, Miller Show.
Wow,
now.
That's a great show! I know!
It's funny shopping at Goldman Sachs. Okay. All right. Someone sent me a future husband. Man falls asleep at a veterinarian clinic after taking horse tranquilizers and watching porn.
Oh.
That is...
Wow.
Huh.
I hope it wasn't equine porn.
Ew.
It would seem like taking horse tranquilizers might cut down on your enjoyment of the porn.
Yeah.
As you might get a little sleepy.
If it's for tranquilizing a horse, yeah, I think maybe it might have some kind of effect. Not the one you're looking for.
Well, ketamine, which is a club drug that the kids are taking, that's a horse tranquilizer.
Hmm.
All right, cops, a man has a pretty good excuse for why he crashed his car into a utility pole in Minnesota. His dog puked on him.
Oh.
Which I can relate. Because
is the dog okay?
The dog's fine.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because every time I take my dogs up to the country here in New York, Fred pukes in the back. So that's a little job for Mama. But I have to, every time I pull the car in, I'm like,
you've got to have plastic sheeting back there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Gallagher concert back there. I'm like, oh, jeez.
You know what? You need to get rid of your nice car and get like a 1970s conversion van because those dogs just
I also I get them groomed up there because it's cheaper, and every time I get them groomed they find a really muddy creek to jump in before I go, so that's also
give them
nice
something to work with. Westchester is lousy with creeks. What do you expect?
Exactly. All right. Carol in New York wants to respond to our Kyle that called before the top of the hour. To complain. Hello,
Stephanie.
Carol.
Stephanie, I wanted to stay off of my Stephanie Miller phone line addiction, but oh my. That woman and C-SPAN have me like apoplectic this morning. Because, first of all, what is up with Democrats? I mean, do you not read? Do you not watch C-SPAN? Do you not keep yourself informed and know that this man has been working his butt off to sponsor legislation? I mean, it was just...
Right. She picks the one Democrat that's been fighting really the good fight against Medicare and his car, these Republicans obstructing health care, and then has come up with this brilliant idea of the Medicare buy-in. You're going to pick that guy to say he's not doing enough?
It was crazy. And then right before that, I was watching C-SPAN, and they had that state representative who was the co-sponsor of that racist Arizona bill.
Mm-hmm.
And you had, like, numerous people of color calling in, thanking God for him. I thought I was going to throw myself out of the window. And I am, like, so concerned about this bill. My son looks Hispanic. Mm-hmm. He is a great kid. He is graduating from college next month. He's a good kid. I'm just like so afraid that he's going to get pulled over. He's also inked up because he plays basketball. And I'm so afraid that he is going to get pulled over. It is making me insane. And not just Arizona, because you've got all these other states, you know, and he's a young guy. He should be able to travel where he wants to go or whatever. You've got all these other states now thinking about adopting this bill, and it freaks me out.
Yep. I hear you. I hear you, honey. Thanks for calling. Yeah, okay. Chris, what's the deal with Rasmussen, by the way?
They tend to lean a little right. And
I mean, because that's the thing. I'm looking at these polls going, is Arizona an entire bunch of bigots? You know what I mean? Like, they're saying 70% agree with this. And now Governor Jan Brewer, she appears to have gotten a bump in the polls.
Yeah.
according to Rasmussen. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, 56% now approve of her job performance. 2 weeks ago, just 40% approved.
Was it 586.com? Is that Nate Silver's site? Okay, he did an analysis of the Rasmussen poll that said that 70% want this bill. And apparently the question was asked in a really loaded way. Mm-hmm. And apparently Rasmussen is famous for that. So
Yeah. Well, in the Rasmussen, 81% of Republicans approve of Brewer's performance, up from 52% before she signed the law. If Brewer were to be the Republican nominee, they're saying she would get 48% of the vote, while the presumptive Democratic nominee, Attorney General Terry Goddard, would attract 40%. However, this gives me hope a poll by a different organization gave Goddard an edge over. Yeah. Brewer, so you have to hope that Arizona is not a bunch of bigots.
No.
Rasmussen poll.
And Goddard is a great candidate going up against Brewer.
Really?
He's got great name recognition across the state. He's been a wonderful attorney general for the state. So I have really, really high hopes for Terry Goddard in that race.
All right. By the way, let's skip to, since we're talking about it, the president talking about immigration on.
I will bring the majority of Democrats to the table in getting this done. But I've got to have some help from the other side.
It's not going to get done this session, though, unfortunately. Immigration?
Harry Reid said he was hoping to get both done this session, but I don't know.
Let's ask Transmission what they think. If Obama, the Kenyan socialist, showed his birth certificate, would you be likely to vote for him?
More or less likely. Oh, dear God, Jim, I hate to ask, but did you see Caribou Barbie? There is no ability or opportunity in there for the racial profiling. Shame on the mainstream media again for turning this into something that it's not. It's shameful, too, also in addition, that the Obama administration has allowed this to become more of a racial issue by perpetuating this myth that racial profiling is part of this law. Racial profiling is the entirety of this law.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know what it is, but I know it didn't happen because they talk about it in the mainstream media.
And did she just call most of her coworkers at Fox News Channel the lamestream media? Because a lot of her coworkers at Fox News are saying that this bill is overreaching. Oops. Oops.
Oops.
Roger Ailes might want to rethink that.
Yeah.
Yeah, did you see Karl Rove is against it? But as usual, not because it might be the wrong thing to do, because it's bad politically.
Right.
It's bad for Republicans.
Yeah. He said he joins the growing list of Republicans to come out against Arizona's new immigration law. Not because it's racist or bad or anything like that. No, crazy. That's crazy. Rove downplayed criticism that the law will encourage racial profiling and civil liberties violations. No, that's not it. He said he foresees constitutional problems with the bill, though, and stated he wished they hadn't passed it.
In other words, it's bad for Republicans.
Yeah, because he sees the Hispanic vote entirely leaving.
Oh, boy. That could be a problem.
The Republican Party for what, generations, perhaps?
Sure.
At this point? Black lawmakers are comparing Arizona's tough immigration law to Jim Crow laws in apartheid South Africa, arguing that the federal government needs to step in with comprehensive immigration reform. The law raises many of the issues we had to deal with during the civil rights struggle, said Representative Barbara Lee of California, whom we love. It harkens back to the era of Jim Crow or apartheid in South Africa. She called the Arizona's law a national disgrace. It's interesting, Chris, how this will play out, though. We've talked about some of these, whether you call them blue dog Dems or whatever, there was a political, I think it was, they went down, how this is going to affect a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the party's most vulnerable mammals hair from culturally conservative districts, like Representative Gabrielle Giffords, a Democrat of Arizona.
The threat is real. What is happening is real, and Arizonans are sick and tired of the federal government not doing something about it.
Absolutely. She boiled it down right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is why I think we should do comprehensive reform, but it's interesting. Some Democratic members, of course, representing heavily Hispanic areas, would benefit from Republicans overreaching on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
In the Senate, the picture is different. Republicans have much to lose from a debate that alienates Hispanic voters because some of the Republicans' most promising pickup opportunities are in states with sizable Hispanic populations like California, Nevada, and Florida. Representative Mike Honda, Democrat of California.
Enough. Enough. This bill is a dramatic example of the political and moral imperative for the federal government to act now on comprehensive immigration reform.
By the way, Chris, you said you don't think he'll do it. Senator Harry Reid, among other things, you know, the fact that we really need to do this, but he also obviously in trouble in Nevada, and he needs the Democratic base to turn out in large numbers, and a significant part of that base is the state's sizable 24% Hispanic population. So I don't know. I wouldn't bet against it perhaps getting done this session. I don't know. Depends on how fast that energy goes, right?
I just don't think Harry Reid wants to touch the third rail of immigration before his election this November.
Right, except I just was saying that he has a sizable Hispanic population. He would probably benefit from this in Nevada.
I think he would benefit more by just leaving the topic alone.
I disagree. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, Democrat.
This is a call to action, not a call to arms, but a call to action for comprehensive immigration reform.
It's weird that the Karl Rove reaction to all this is similar to Lyndon Johnson's reaction to civil rights legislation, which was the right thing to do because he said, you know, the Democrats have lost the South for a generation. More than that, it turns out. But Karl Rove is using the same calculations. Like, oh, this is not good.
Yeah. Don't you?
And it's the wrong
thing. Do you think Karl Rove has ever done anything in his life, Jim, because it's the right thing to do?
No.
Yeah. No. It's just how does it affect politics? All right. 17 minutes after the hour, back with more of the politics of immigration reform as we continue. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Can we absolutely positively guarantee that it will give me an orgasm?
Yeah.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Mike in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, gang? I just want to let you know I'm on my way to Wrigley Field, and myself and three friends, we've got these big Yosemite Sam-sized sombreros we're going to be bringing. So anyone who goes to the game today, try to get a sombrero so when they pan through Wrigley Field, it looks like a bullfight.
Oh, that's funny.
Also, you know what I don't understand about the Republicans' argument is they say that they're doing what the federal government has failed to do. Well, the drug war has been an abject failure, but it doesn't give the police the right to kick in your door to see if you're getting high.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Since the Bush administration, the Fourth Amendment's pretty much gone. So.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of fine Americans, did you see the mayor of Tucson on the TV machine last night? What's his name? Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. Mm-hmm. He's been a cop for 52 years, says the law will definitely lead to racial profiling. He told the local TV station the law is racist, disgusting, and unnecessary, and he won't enforce it. While the law may not explicitly mandate profiling, he said there's no way to enforce it without doing so.
Hmm. Other than that, it's great. But, you know. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, the police are not.
By the way, Tom Ridge also coming out against the Arizona law, former Homeland Security chief, saying he's uncomfortable with Arizona's new immigration law, saying it allows police to question people without probable cause. So, you know, a lot of people, actually on both sides of the aisle, standing up against this.
I just hear these boycotts for, you know, Arizona, you know, the calls for boycotts getting louder and louder and louder, and I just think that is so misguided because the businesses and the Office of Tourism fought so hard against this law, and it's still passed anyway.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well,
you shouldn't be punishing them.
Yeah, you shouldn't be punishing the very same people who fought against this law. But, you know,
well, I get, the thing is, I get Representative Raul Grau, you know, Tom Brokaw's Yes. The Democrat of Arizona. I get his point, though, Chris. I mean, I agree with you that I, you know, because we have a lot of great listeners in Phoenix and Tucson. You hate to see people hurt by something that they weren't for.
Right.
But, you know, his point is, he said, just as professional athletes refuse to recognize Arizona until it recognized Martin Luther King Jr., we are calling on organizations not to schedule conventions and conferences in Arizona until it recognizes civil rights and the meaning of due process. We don't want to sustain this effort any longer than necessary. It's about sending a message. So, you know,
Don't use a sledgehammer when a scalpel is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a reactionary sledgehammer.
Yeah. Did you see this? The Arizona Ice Tea has been fighting.
Yeah, it's made in New York.
It's made in New York. They're like, why did we pick that name?
Damn it! Can we change it to Utah?
Oh, Arizona Iced Tea Company trying to defend itself from boycott calls from outraged drinkers, and it's a New York product. It's not anything to do with
Maybe
Arizona.
Brooklyn.
New York City.
Get a rope.
Get a rope.
Representative Ted Poe, Republican of Texas.
Our local Border Patrol agents and local sheriffs on the border are outmanned, outgunned, and outfinanced by the drug cartels who wish to come into the United States.
Another reason why we need comprehensive immigration reform. Harry Reid on that, yes?
We have the energy bill that's ahead of the immigration bill. I mean, just the way things work around here.
Because of some people. Well, I guess they will go named. Senator Lindsey Graham.
Biggest loser bringing up this way is immigration reform's potential future, because it has no chance of passing. Look at the Democrats who were taking a pass on this. So to bring it up now would do a lot of damage to the future of immigration reform, something I care about, and it makes energy and climate impossible. And that doesn't hurt Senator McCain, doesn't hurt Lindsey Graham, it hurts the country.
You know, maybe I'm being naive again, Chris, but I don't get why anybody would not be for comprehensive immigration reform. It fixes both problems. You know, I mean, and everyone agrees that it is a problem in this country. So,
But, you know, emotions can be ginned up over it, and it remains a third rail in American politics.
How about this doctor from Iowa who's hoping to be selected as a Republican Party candidate for Congress in November? He's called for illegal immigrants to be implanted with microchips so their movements can be monitored. Where are my banjos? I'm sorry, I misplaced. Patrick Bertroach. That doesn't sound American. He was quoted as at a forum saying his solution for illegal immigrants was to catch them, document them, make sure we know where they are, what they're doing. I actually support microchipping them. I can microchip my dog so I can find it. Why can't I microchip an illegal?
Just tackle them and put a tag on their ear. Just go.
Then the next day, he went on to say he did not mean to compare immigrants to dogs, even though he just did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. In the second part of news, did you see the, who's this guy? Oh, Alabama. Yes, let me just... Republican Alabama gubernatorial candidate Tim James vows in a new campaign that if he's elected, he'll give the state driver's license exam only in English. This is Alabama. We speak English. If you want to live here, learn it.
They don't speak English well. I've heard them talk.
He says it would save money. There's no... Alabama could actually lose billions of dollars in federal funding if it enacts that measure, by the way, FYI. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World Financial Reform and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, they all adore it.
Stephanie Miller.
They think she's a righteous dude.
Comedian, actress extraordinaire Edie McClurg coming up on the Celebrity Hotline on the Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to, I am Carrie the Four. Joy in Arizona on the immigration law. Hello, Joy.
Hi. That survey they took had to have been taken only of rich white people, because most of the population here in Arizona is low income, and a lot of them are Mexican American. So any survey they took, it couldn't be correct. This whole mess should be straightened up by first allowing Mexican workers to come into the states and with a pass go to their job and then go home when they're done with their trip, and so that we don't have these people dying in the desert.
You're talking about guest worker program?
Yeah. And the other thing is the so-called virtual fence doesn't work at all.
Yeah, right. Well, that's for
that's been proven.
That's for sure. Jeff in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Hey, Chris, I got to take issue with you. I think you're dead wrong about going after tourism down there, because remember, Arizona was the, I don't know if it was the only one, but it was the last state to adopt Dr. King Day.
No, well, it wasn't. It was not the last state to adopt.
Okay, it wasn't the last state, but
right.
Ultimately the way
New Hampshire was.
They were pressured into doing it was the NFL and other organizations boycotted them. And, you know, so that, what will happen is the economic pressure will occur, and the John Junkers, the Fiesta Bowl, the Super Bowl, or, you know, those folks down there in the business community will go right to the Russell Pierces, and they'll have to overturn that thing.
You know what? It wasn't the boycott that got Martin Luther King Day. I moved there.
Well,
I moved to Arizona in 1987, the year all of this was going down. What happened was Evan Mecham was recalled by the citizens of Arizona. A boycott had nothing to do with that. And after Evan Mecham was recalled, the Martin Luther King Day was put back into place.
But because there's a lot of gray in life, that's not, there's some gray in there too, in the sense that there were a lot of business calls, and the most prominent or the most visible being the NFL, that said, we are not going to do business with Arizona, just as there are right now.
That's what Raul Grijalva is saying. Yes, so when professional athletes said they aren't, right.
Unfortunately, the citizens of Arizona are going to have to suffer a little bit because of their whacked out. And I lived in Phoenix for 8 years, so I understand. I know what you're talking about, Chris. I lived in Goodyear, if you know where that is, on the west side. And they're going to have to suffer a little bit because those whacked out legislators passed this obviously unconstitutional, immoral, and racist law.
Families are going
to
get hurt by this.
Get that thing reversed is to apply a ton of economic pressure.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, sometimes you can only shame people into doing the right thing, and that's...
Believe me, the people who are against it are already ashamed of it. You don't need to shame these people anymore.
You need to shame the people that are for it. That's the problem. George and Tempe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
My head hurts. I hate having to call up and defend my state. You know, Chris, you're so right. There's some. It's not going to do it. What's going to do it, I think, is if you identify the Republican legislators in the Arizona legislature who voted for it. And you know what? They all have businesses, and they all run them in their majority of their time. They're spare time legislators. Boycott their businesses. Send a message directly not to the state. And you know what? I wish I called yesterday. I tried to get through yesterday because I really wanted to talk with Hal, because he is the Pollyanna of the show. And he understands how you have to dig in times like this and fight and fight and fight. We have got to come out in force and get rid of some of these nut jobs.
Absolutely. The best thing that people could do instead of boycotting the businesses is to find out who voted for this in the Arizona State Legislature and donate lots of money to whoever's running against them.
Exactly. Now, Russell Pierce, the guy who wrote the bill.
Absolutely. Find out who's running against Russell Pierce and donate lots of money to that person.
Russell Pierce, the guy who wrote the bill, is a lifetime law enforcement guy. Mm-hmm. He was Joe Arpaio's crony for years, and his son is a law enforcement guy, and his son was shot in the stomach by an illegal alien 7 years ago. And I have a feeling there's a little bit of some personal vendetta stuff going on there too. He's just a whack job. We got to get rid of these guys.
I hear you, honey. All right, let's go to Marina in Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Marina.
Hi, how are you?
Just
wanted to say, I want to put in a good word for the boycott. I used to work for Cesar Chavez in the Imperial Valley in California with the union. And I'm saying to you, and especially my dear beloved Chris, the first time you have to fish out a baby's body from a sewer pipe where they crawled off to die after being sprayed with DDT because they were illegally working in the fields because the millions of dollars the growers made didn't count, counted for them but not for the lives of these babies. You think twice about a boycott. That's all, my dears.
I've thought many times about a boycott, my dear.
She was trying to play on your heartstrings, which you will obviously have none.
Well, that's fine and dandy for a sob story, but that's not reality.
Well, boycotts do work, is what she's saying at times. I mean, you can't say that boycott has ever worked.
Have I said that? No, saying that a boycott in this situation is so counterproductive. I'm not making blanket statements here.
Alan in Virginia, my trucker friend. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Stephanie. I think we should annex Mexico
and make it the next four states, and you know, or however many states it takes to make the stars come out equal in the flag. And that way we solve the immigration problem, and we get prime real estate down there on all the coastline and make our border just that little tiny sliver at the bottom.
But then we inherit all the drug gangs.
Yeah, that's not good. And all the violence in Tijuana and Juarez. And,
yeah, and we have to extend Social Security, too.
Yeah, but we get Ensenada, which was really fun in college, I got to tell you. Okay.
That might be just south of the sliver that he's talking about.
Would I get to run Husong's Cantina? Because if so, I am down with that.
I think that would remain a part of Mexico if he's just talking about a sliver.
Hmm.
Okay.
I could get whose songs I'd go for the
We'd get the violence. We wouldn't get the fun stuff.
Let's go to Mary in New Mexico. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the hate in in Arizona continues. A gay friend of mine pointed me towards an article that Governor Jan Brewer recently signed a bill that removes domestic partner benefits.
She signed that last year, and it's going into effect this fall.
Nice.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the Napolitano passed it when she was governor, and Brewer has rescinded it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, unless you're straight and white in Arizona, you get going to play in any of their reindeer games, do you? Interesting. All right, let's
go. Come on, gang! We won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games!
Scott in Minneapolis. Hello, Scott. Oops, I didn't do the thing right again. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yes, go ahead.
Say, I don't know if this is a question or a discussion, but just when I think I had that party figured out. I'm trying to figure out what direction you guys think the conservative party is going here, because they keep quoting founding fathers. God gave us our, I went down to the Palin Boston
I think they
rally.
Mean the part of the founding fathers that were slave owners, that part.
Well,
what they admire most.
Clearly they want to reinstate slavery, ban gays and everything, but they keep referring to founding fathers, and at first I thought the conservative party was strictly fiscal, and perhaps even moral, but are they looking to go back to horse and buggy and, the 1700s?
George Bush said, the horse buggy days. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There's entirely too much fond talk about the olden days, isn't there, Jim?
Yeah.
It's sort of.
I could own some people to do work for him and not have to pay him. Them was good times.
Joe in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Arizona Law. Hello, Joe.
Hi, I'm a Hispanic American, and I'm for what they're doing. Basically, it's this. The people who are here illegal are breaking the law to begin with. And two, I don't think this is about profiling illegal immigrants. This is about setting a new agenda so they have to question everybody, and that includes Americans.
But they're not going to question everybody, Joe.
Then why don't we question all Americans? I think that's a slippery slope that they're trying to do. They're setting us up to take more control over everybody.
Well,
if they're here illegally, what's wrong with calling INS and making sure that they're not a criminal first? I've ran into a lot of, my friends are Mexican and they're from TJ, but I ran into a lot of people here who have no care for our Constitution or our rights as Americans, and they're coming here, and a lot of them are good people, but there's a lot of people who aren't. And if they're breaking the law, they're breaking the law, period.
Okay. All right. I mean, I understand that you're saying they're illegal, but I mean, it's what is your solution? Do you think we're going to be able to get all, what do we have, Chris, 20 million?
Something like that.
The solution is this. What we have to do is to stop spending overseas, bringing all our money home, keeping our money here, and maybe we can be more prosperous. We can welcome more people to come into this country. What they're doing now, they're breaking us economically, and they're setting us up to fight against illegal immigrants because we're all fighting over the same low-paying wages now. That they're setting us up here, it's not about left, right, Democrat, or Republican. It's about the U.S. citizen having the rights of their own here protected. And we're getting set up here, and I think what they're going to do is set up a new system so where they have a right to question everybody and ask for everybody's papers. This is a gradual slope where we keep going towards.
Right, but that's not America. I mean, that's not an America that a lot of us recognize as everybody getting stopped and asking for their papers. We mentioned yesterday, didn't Eric Cantor say the Germany, the Nazi analogy? That's ridiculous. Being stopped and asked for your papers, how is that like Germany? Well, in that it's exactly like what they did in Germany.
Yeah. Other than that, there's no comparison.
I mean, what Nazi movie has there been made without the line, can I see your papers?
Might I see your papers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 45, exactly.
I actually said that line in a college film that I did.
Oh, really?
Yes.
A college Nazi film.
Can I see your papers, please?
See? I rest my case.
It's the they wouldn't law. Have been able yeah. to make Hogan's Heroes without
yes.
it.
Yes.
45 minutes after the hour, right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I have never experienced the hostility that this little show, which I think is a charming show, is engendering in the community.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I'll wear you out. 50 minutes after the hour.
I don't think Ricky Martin would be very comfortable in Arizona these days. Something tells me.
Although, he's from Puerto Rico, which is an American, it's
true,
it's
but
a,
it's a U.S. Commonwealth.
But he don't look American. That's
don't
problem.
Matter. He looks brown or something. 1-800... This is F12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Let's go to John in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Well, good morning, Steph.
Good morning.
I think I have a quick little analogy here that can help to counter that whole argument of, well, they're breaking the law, period. People that steal are breaking the law, but you can't pass a law that says we can pull over people that look like they're going to steal. I mean, there's a big difference between reasonable suspicion and probable cause. That's the key here. And it's just kind of absurd to think that an American citizen can be put in jail because they can't produce papers. And guess what they're going to look like? I mean, this isn't going to happen to white people. So, I mean, that last guy that called that argument is just absurd, I think.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Vic in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Vic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before you start telling your listeners to send a lot of money to the opponents, people like Russell Pierce, the guys that voted for the bill,
uh-huh.
check and see if they're taking their campaign funds from the state's clean election fund.
That's right.
If they are, every time you send money to their opponent, the state gives them matching funds.
Huh.
Well, that's a bit of a sticky wicket, isn't it, Chris?
It certainly is, which is why I was against that clean elections law in the first place.
Hmm. They got some wacky laws in Arizona.
Well,
all right.
Believe me, I know.
Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Has Charlie Crist made his big announcement yet, that he's jumping into a three-way with two other men?
It doesn't look like it yet.
He's expected to make the announcement today that he will leave the Republican primary to run as a third-party candidate for the U.S. Senate in Florida. I believe I'm going to have to agree with someone in right-wing world about Charlie Crist. Rush Limbaugh.
Charlie Crist says oil spill proves drilling isn't safe, withdraws his support.
Yes.
Charlie Crist, you've got linguine for a spine. I predicted that this exact thing with his oil spill out there would be the death knell for people who want to drill. And right there we got a Republican leading the charge. It's just pandering to a constituency that he thinks he needs to win a Senate seat.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know who's for oil drilling? Barack Obama.
Yes, I know.
On the coast of Florida.
Yes. I know. Don't you love Rush? What they'll see? They're going to use some giant oil spill as some sort of crazy
conspiracy.
Crazy idea that it's not safe for some reason.
How could possibly conclude it's not safe? Just based on the whole ocean being covered with crude oil and being set on fire. Entire rig sinking underwater. It's completely safe.
It's because Floridians will soon be scrubbing seagulls with toothbrushes. Why does that mean? So what?
And, yeah, that may happen sooner rather than later.
Orlando will be a gigantic tar pit, my friends.
It's a petting zoo. So what? Take the kids. So you remember he ran on no oil drilling, and then he flip-flopped when John McCain flip-flopped, the other noted flip-flopper, and now he is flip-flopping back against drilling. As he,
Go Kendrick Meek.
Go Kendrick Meek. When's he calling? Okay, Gargano Gasbag, Rush Limbaugh, and the Arizona law.
Once the law, properly enacted, is routinely ignored, and ignored with the blessing and the promotion of the political class, then you have a breakdown of organized society. And there is nothing compassionate about what's happening to the people of Arizona. There is nothing compassionate about the violation of private property rights. There is nothing compassionate about the abuse of the taxpayer. In fact, not only is that not compassion, we are at the forefront of a dissolution of a nation.
Ah, I see, which just, again, started now, just when Barack Obama opened the borders just now.
Yes, there was never a problem before.
No.
Barry got in, yes, that's clear, obvious. Who can argue with that logic?
The regime.
The regime,
yes,
which is a French word for government.
All right, Glenn Beck on the... on the radio.
This thing has been set up for so long, Americans had no idea the meat grinder that was being prepared for them. And we're being shoved through this meat grinder. And unless you put all the pieces together, your democracy, your republic is gone, and it's replaced by a democratically elected progressive government.
Oh. Ah. Democratically elected. That's the part that... Well, oh, wait.
We're the hamburger... Something. Okay. All right. Once again, Jim, you have to kind of dissect that before you can even. What does he mean? Okay, never mind. He's crazy.
Yeah, George Bush was a progressive, but he was not elected democratically, so that was good. You see, so by the terms of my argument, I'm completely out of my mind.
You know, granted, he is not the brain trust that Gretchen Carlson is on the Fox and Freaks.
If you don't think that all this was timed at the same time to talk about financial reform and to bring Goldman Sachs in front of all those members of Congress, I think this was all timed to the president's benefit.
It's a setup.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes. We made Goldman Sachs commit these...
To show what asshats Republicans are for supporting these people.
Oh! Gretchen is an asshat. Financial reform has been in process for a long, long time now.
Okay, Dana Perino, the lying sack of cute on the Hannity show.
What drives me crazy is that there are people all across our country, 535 of them, who were elected to do exactly what this commission is being asked to do. And there needs to be a focusing of the mind and a focusing of attention on this issue. And it's really hard for people to swallow that all of a sudden they're so concerned about deficits when they just ran through their health care bill.
Yeah, who could have left kind of deficits like that? Sean,
nothing happened before the fall of 2008. The history did not exist yet.
Oh, dear. How about a little more Glenn Beck fear-mongering?
We've been warning you about the fundamental transformation of America for a while. The progressive dream is about to become a reality. Progressives tried this about 100 years ago, and they failed. But they got back together and said, okay, what do we need to do? And I think, I mean, the best way to describe it is they set a time bomb. They just started deconstructing.
By progressives, you mean Teddy Roosevelt?
Republican?
Yeah.
Ooh, man, that's... All right, whatever. That concludes Right-Wing World. Oh, all right, we have the latest on what happened in the Senate on financial reform. We have comedian extraordinaire Edie McClurg. We have Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And presumably, we have Representative Kendrick Meek, who is part of that three-way in Florida for the Senate. Celebrity stack. Listen, don't go away. So much coming right up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I want you no sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tonight on MSNBC, 6 p.m. Eastern. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Chris, we get pitched all the time as a
yes.
little radio show, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We get pitched some interesting things. We often say...
Peter says no.
Yes, we say no to probably about 90% of the stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When we heard about our next guest, what did we say?
Yes.
In unison, we said, cha.
Yeah.
Funniest woman alive, Edie McClurg, actress and comedian extraordinaire, whom we love. Good morning, Edie.
Good morning from New Orleans.
Oh, cool.
What are you doing in New Orleans?
I'm here for 4 days of Jazz Fest, music, music, music.
Wow. I said earlier on the show that you just, when I see you in a movie, you just make me happy before you even say anything.
Well, I have a face that precedes me, I guess.
I don't mean that. You're just hilarious. We were all saying our favorite, and of course for me it's the Planes, Trains, and Automobile, the counter agent.
Yes,
there.
The one that can never be quoted.
That's right.
Exactly. Chris's favorite, Ferris Bueller.
Yep.
But you're doing all kinds of... So now you're on the HBO critically acclaimed animated series, The Life and Times of Tim.
Yes.
You're the voice of Helen.
Helen is the older woman in the office who, you know, kind of gets left out of things because she has to take her dog to the, not the chiropractor, but
the veterinarian.
Veterinarian.
There you go.
Or maybe it's got a bad back. I don't know.
We're playing fill in the blank, an improv game with Edie McClurg.
Yes. Yeah.
So when the young folks go out to a bar, Helen never gets to go.
Aww.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading your credits because there's so much that we know you've done. I had no idea that you were the talking syrup bottle Mrs. Butterworth.
I am Mrs. Butterworth now because I'm just so thick and rich.
Oh, yeah.
But still just as sweet.
So, you know, it was interesting in your bio, they said, although Edie grew up in the Midwest, her perspective is much more liberal than what most people would think.
Yes.
See, and I think of you as a screaming Hollywood liberal. Oh.
No.
Well, I don't go running down the street saying, yay, Obama! No, but I actually worked for almost 8 years with a National Public Radio affiliate in Kansas City, Missouri. So we were pretty much... after Martin Luther King was killed and they had riots in several of the cities, we also had some in Kansas City. And so in response to that, we put on a series which was unprecedented in Kansas City. It was about black people in Kansas City who were just forgotten and not in the media much at all except, you know, on perp walks and lying on the street with the handcuffs on. So we did a series of things about them with the food banks and the after-school tutoring and all of the things that were going on in any kind of situation where it needs to be met. And this was unknown in Kansas City broadcasting. They were just ignored.
Wow. So you've got a blog, I understand, and so you talk about everything on there, entertainment, so political, social.
Yeah, social in the respect of the one that was really bothering me was the overuse and hyperbole of awesome and amazing that every guy who met a girl, she was just amazing. You know, we both like Pepsi Light, you know, and
that's
it's
awesome.
Just amazing. So,
we do over superlative these days, don't we?
Well, my theory was that if I just met someone who was really nice and we got along, that wasn't exciting enough because that didn't make us special. But if the person I fell in love with and fell in love with me was awesome and amazing, that meant that we were meant to be together because we both liked the Sbarro's pizza in the food court. Isn't that amazing?
It's awesome.
It's amazing and awesome, both.
So the blog was up, I had younger people saying, you know, I really didn't know I was saying it that much. And they tried to not say it around me.
Do you, and now it's therap.com?
The Rap, WRAP.
Mm-hmm. And we have a link to it at StephanieMiller.com. So.
Fabulous.
Oh, great.
Yep.
And it's under the Holly blog section.
Okay.
Under E for Edie.
Okay.
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 It's and a little hard to find.
What other issues are you passionate about that you talk about on there or elsewhere?
Well, I've always been a proponent of feminist ideals because I was the person who was doing most of the work at the NPR station, and other people were, you know, getting larger salaries and more credit, and it was kind of getting my goat, and that's when I started a show called New World Coming on our radio station and with the Women's Liberation Union, and I know that I must have an FBI file in Kansas City because, you know,
yes.
I'd be out covering their protests, and anyone who was around, you know, got labeled as a troublemaker.
Yeah, yeah, you're probably on the socialist list there.
Well, I feel that I really did bring down the presidency, help to bring down the presidency of the unindicted co-conspirator Richard Nixon due to the Watergate tape transcripts, you
uh-huh.
know, that he foolishly kept and then were published, and NPR over one a whole weekend broadcast every word, including expletive deleted hundreds
wow.
and hundreds
oh, yeah.
of times. And in Kansas City, our station gave them a rest in Washington. They had two or three stations around the country who would take over for a half hour. So I was Richard Kleindienst in one, and I was John Ehrlichman in another conversation.
Cool. Oh, that's so awesome.
Now, that's acting. What, you probably get asked this all the time, but do you have a favorite role? What's been your favorite project
oh,
ever?
Oh, golly. You know, there have been some small films that I've done that have been more grounded in reality mm-hmm. rather than satire or high comedy. So, but they're just not known, to tell you the truth. And so every once in a while I get to do something with some meat to it. Mm-hmm. And I think A River Runs Through It.
Yep.
I played
yeah,
the mother of the girl. And there was a point there in the living room scene, and ours was meant to be comic relief, but my son who's just come home for a visit, gets up, and I know he's going to go drinking and get drunk. And my looks to my daughter, and what are we going to do? We've got to stop him from drinking, all with a few looks. And Robert Redford gave me close-ups on those, and they made it into the movie. So I've really felt proud of that.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that must be where my mother learned her looks at me. But, yeah, I mean, that's the
but
thing.
But it wasn't – you were incorrigible, were you?
Yeah. Well, oh, sure. We'll use that word. But, you know, it is interesting. You're one of those people that, you know, I can't think of, you know, there's so many people. You came up at the Groundlings, right? I mean, there's just so many people. Like, I remember John Candy. Like, you just laugh when you saw him, even before he said anything. You just, you know, you're so naturally funny. But I think you're right, as people don't, you know, even Natural Born Killers, you've done, you know, so much serious work. But I think you're mm-hmm. so naturally funny that people just associate that with you.
Well, PBS did a special of the stage play Working,
mm-hmm.
which
uh-huh.
took real interviews with real working people. And I was one of the telephone operators in that. And, you know, it was humorous to a point, but also it was very telling about, you know, people who are in roles in our society that where they're mainly servo mechanisms. They just answer the phone. They answer the phone and they answer the phone. And she made a joke one time on the phone and said, thank you for calling Kmart. How may I help you? And she wasn't working for Kmart. She was working for Holiday Inn.
Oh.
And somebody turned her in and she got a, you know, a bad report. And it was like, you know, these are people who have to swallow it every day in the work that they do. And I find that it's, I think that, you know, you should be able to express yourself in some way. And we have an awful lot of people who have to eat it all the time. And I think that's not right.
Yeah, yeah, you're their hero.
I am the person behind the counter. And when I was doing that scene where, you know, Steve Martin is in my face saying that word over and over
yes.
again, I took all the tension, you know, I didn't show it heavy on my face, but I took all the tension that, you know, this person behind the counter was feeling and hoping she wasn't going to get reported into the pen that I had. You know, I turned it over like three times before I go in and scratch my head. And so all the tension of his yelling at me went into my hand because I couldn't respond as a person behind the counter.
Right. Well, you know what? That's actually true. I mean, that's an interesting point about the fact that, and a lot of us have been frustrated and, you know, and then have felt bad about about being frustrated. I mean, you realize, oh, it's just their job, but, oh, I'm so frustrated about this. And you're right. A lot of those people take a lot of crap every day and they probably don't deserve it.
And then they go home and drink, or they go home and, you know, overeat, or they, you know, their frustration comes out in ways that harm them as well.
Right. I just had something like that happen. I was actually in a post office, and this woman was going berserk on the poor woman at the counter because, I don't know, they didn't have her package or something. And, you know, so I was like the next person in line, and I just was like, I don't think you're horrible and incompetent and a whore, or like whatever the woman had yelled at her. And she was like, thank you. Edie McClurg, you are one of our heroes, just one of the funniest women in the world. Thanks so much for taking time for us. And go to StephanieMiller.com and click on the link. You can go to Edie's blog, and you will see her and hear her in many a thing as well.
And she's
Edie,
both
thanks so
awesome and amazing.
That's right.
she's both awesome and amazing.
I would love to meet you in person sometime. I know Hal and John come in and commentate with you. So
yeah, absolutely.
I would love that.
The door is open for you.
Anytime. I would love that. Thank you,
super.
Edie.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right.
Now, can New Orleans signing out. Let's say le bon temps roulé.
All right.
Absolument.
All right. Thank you, Edie. There she goes.
Wow.
How sweet is she? I would love to come in and commentate with you sometime. I would love to have her come in and commentate with
the
me.
That's cognitive dissonance right there, that voice in New Orleans.
You know what? She is the very definition of a character actress because she has always looked like a middle-aged woman, you know, from the time she played, you know, a high schooler in Carrie to now. You know, she's always looked 45.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. 18
awesome.
Minutes after the hour. I will continue to commentate after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I get it. In honor of Edie McClurg.
That's right.
From Ferris Bueller's Day Off, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12. Will in Seattle writes, Steph, I have one observation concerning the Arizona immigration law. It does nothing to stop illegal immigration. It doesn't close the borders. It doesn't put anyone on the border. It doesn't stop any violent crime. It doesn't do anything other than making it illegal to be a person of color. Will in Seattle. Thank you, Will.
Very good point.
You're the smartest boy in the class. Let's go to Helen in Albuquerque on the Arizona law. Hi, Helen.
Hey, Steph. You know, I agree with Chris that a boycott would be counterproductive because you think about the people that it's going to affect the most if they quit doing the conventions.
Immigrants.
And tourism. Yeah, they're the ones who are working in the hotels and the restaurants.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, they get a double whammy. Yep, you're right. Mike in Iowa City, Iowa. Hello.
Hello. How you doing there, Steph?
Good. Go ahead.
I don't agree with the Arizona law, but I do think we should do something about the borders, enforce the borders, and I do not think of, about amnesty. I don't think we should have amnesty. I think we should get the employers, fine them, like in Iowa here in Postville where they had the meatpacking plant. This guy is ready to go to jail for life. I would love that. You would stop all illegal immigration to this country if you do that, and they'll go back home.
Don't know that you'd stop
You're not going to find a place for 12 million people with that. But I agree. It's all part of it, right? That's why they call it comprehensive.
Yep.
You see, it gets the employers, it takes care of border security, and it gives a reasonable path to citizenship for the, you know, millions and millions of people that are already here. I mean, people think there's some magic solution, you know, that, oh, we'll do this, and then they'll all just disappear. Let's go to Joel in Oakland. Hi, Joel.
Hey, well, I'm in Foster City now. I was in Oakland. I'm calling. I'm going to actually step outside. I'm inside my workplace.
Okay.
You know, earlier, the first hour of the show, I heard you and the Mooks talking about the health care bill and how it's, you know, like Social Security and Medicare can be improved later. I really think that's a bogus comparison. Social Security.
Why?
Well, Social Security and Medicare both created the government program that was later expanded. Social Security created, well, Social Security. Medicare created Medicare. What the health care bill does is it creates a requirement for citizens to buy a product from private companies that already have way too much power. It simply further entrenches them. I think it moves us away from what Medicare and Social Security both created.
Well, listen, that's why, you know, I don't know if you heard Alan Grayson on today, but that's why I'm for his Medicare buy-in. I think it's a brilliant idea. It's a simple idea. But, you know, I will say that.
I'm all for that. Yeah, we should have started with that. But
Well, absolutely. Well, we've said that over and over. We should have started with Medicare for All, but we didn't. You know, I mean, the point is, you know, like comprehensive immigration reform, in my opinion, that's part of the problem. You have to get more people into the system. That's part of why it's so broken, because as we keep saying, people who don't have health insurance go to the emergency room, and then we all pay for it. So it's part of the problem, getting everyone in the system. Steve in California.
Yeah, good morning. First off, I'd like to start by saying I'm a conservative Republican, and I listen to your station periodically just to see what the other side's stating. But I don't know if you're aware of it. Out here in California, if you drive from San Diego to L.A. on any major freeway, you are stopped by armed federal officers, period. You know, wait in an hour line. You're asked questions. And if you answer the questions incorrectly, you're turned over to ICE. What's the difference between what's going on here that nobody's throwing any kind of hiccup about and what's going on out in Arizona?
Steve, I drive all the time, and I don't believe everyone is pulled over for an hour. Are they, Jim? Am I missing something?
I drive to San Diego all the time. I've never been pulled over, well, not even for, you know, 10 minutes.
And had to wait an hour. Yes, I go to see my friend.
Because you look Canadian. You look French-Canadian.
I go to see my friend. I think you're breaking a minute early again, aren't you?
Yeah, you know. What kind of American name is that? Lavois.
Chris, you'll be happy to know. Hang on a second. I believe there's a product for you.
Premature?
The first pill to prevent premature ejaculation launches.
Yes! Thank you.
Yes! Yeah!
Today.
Oh, thank you. I got so excited. I need to change my pants now.
I wonder if there's a pill to prevent premature producing. What were we saying?
I don't remember.
I don't remember now.
My day's ruined now. Can I break now?
I feel like you're a 40-year-old virgin. I'm like, okay, honey. All right. Don't get... Oh, that was good. Okay.
He's distracted by the bags of sand.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back to Celebrity Stack on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm going to drink it.
It's 8 a.m.
So? This is just like a mimosa, except for it's got wine instead of champagne and an orange juice. That sounds delicious.
Party on. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. You know, everything that's happening in the world today is happening in Florida for some reason.
I know, right?
Right? Charlie, Crist jumping into a three-way, it looks like, later today. Also he's flip-flop yet again on oil drilling now that the oil has almost reached the coast of Florida. Why? If only we were wired in Florida in some way. If only we knew Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the great state of Florida.
Good morning.
Good morning, Congresswoman. We've also had Alan Grayson on this morning. I'm so wired in Florida. So
you're back down in Florida, Stephanie.
Exactly, and we're hoping to get Kendrick Meek on before the show is over today. Let's talk about that first of all, because that's interesting. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome if the teabag imploded, the Tea Party years imploded again, and the Democrat wins in Florida? Is there a chance of that?
Oh yeah, the Republicans are busy eating their young in Florida, and they are imploding. It's unbelievable that they have moved so far to the right and are so extreme that they've driven a relatively moderate Republican governor out of the party and forced him to run as an independent. I mean, that's how far off the cliff to the right the Republicans in Florida have gone.
Well, absolutely. And the thing I keep wondering, too, is why has this, all this ethical, the financial stuff not hurt Marco Rubio yet, and will it in the general, do you think?
Well, I think it will. He spent over $100,000 on the Republican Party of Florida's American Express card, a lot of which was on personal expenses, didn't report it to the IRS, which is why the IRS is investigating his use of the card. I mean, my sense is that you have to report that kind of stuff as income if it's a personal benefit to you. He is maintaining that it's that those were legitimate business expenses, but no elected official in Florida on the Democratic side gets a credit card from the party to use at their own whim. So it's just totally inappropriate. It's an excess that is beyond imagination, and I mean it shows that a party that says that they are fiscally responsible spend like drunken sailors the contributions of their supporters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and Charlie Crist, I mean, you know, here he's flip-flopped yet again on oil drilling, of course, you know, showing that, I mean, it seems like his main interest is just in getting elected. It's not,
well,
you know.
Yes, unfortunately, Charlie Crist's reputation has mostly been one of putting his finger in the wind fairly often and seeing which way the winds are blowing. You know, I can tell you that there are some good things that he's done, and he's showed some flexibility and some open-mindedness, but that's clearly not welcome in the Republican Party.
Exactly.
Unless you do it exactly the way they want you to, unless you walk in lockstep with the right wing, then, you know, the you're not welcome sign goes up. And, yeah, I mean, Governor Crist, any Republican in Florida should have stood strong against oil drilling. We warned against an explosion and a leak of this type. We've said that it could potentially spoil Florida's beaches. Now we're praying that they're going to be able to stop that oil slick in time so that it doesn't hit Destin's beaches, which is a major tourist destination in Florida. Mm-hmm. It is, our bottom line is it's just not worth the risk, and that should be the position of anyone who is trying to represent Florida.
Mm-hmm. Congresswoman, interestingly enough, too, I mean, the Arizona immigration law also ties in with Marco Rubio, who I think hilariously might get teabagged by the teabag crowd now that he's come out against the Arizona immigration law.
I'm not sure he's come out completely against it, Stephanie. I saw him say, I saw that he made some comments that that pushed back on the immigration law, but it certainly wasn't an unequivocal statement of opposition.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to straddle it for sure.
Yeah.
He's saying he has concerns, but yeah. Yeah.
For someone of Cuban-American descent, it's pretty shocking that he wouldn't have pushed back harder on his view on that Arizona law.
Yeah, I mean, the Arizona law, it's sort of patently awful, isn't it? I don't know what else can be said about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's to be able to be stopped for driving while dark-skinned, yes, it is. That's not a crime, as far as I know. Although apparently it just became a crime in Arizona.
You would have to be careful because you have a lovely tan.
I would have been mistaken for being Hispanic, especially living in South Florida. And you know, it's just there is no one in America that should have to be subjected to that type of random. Questioning. It's un-American, it's unconstitutional, and while we certainly need to be making sure that we can stop the flow of undocumented immigrants from coming into this country, secure the borders, and make sure that that we have an immigration policy that has balance and makes some sense, that the Arizona law doesn't reflect any of those characteristics.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope you get to comprehensive immigration reform. As we pointed out, John Boehner is in no danger of getting pulled over because that's not a color found in any color in any nation
honestly,
in nature.
Honestly, Stephanie, I mean, I think we have we've got to focus on jobs and the economy first. I think we've got a lot of priorities. As much as I'd like to see comprehensive immigration reform pass, We need to continue to focus on turning the economy around, creating jobs, passing this energy and climate change legislation. I'd like to get to immigration reform, but I don't think it should be at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about financial reform, because obviously the Republicans finally finished their hissy fit last night. And
yeah.
Now we're allowing us to talk about financial reform. Isn't that nice of them?
Worse than a hissy fit. I mean, it was, hissy fit is being kind. I mean, that they were literally willing to stand on the side of Wall Street giants and increased profits and padding the pockets of people who are already multimillionaires, until they realized that it was politically unpopular for them to continue to do that. So they had to step out of the way. And that's the only reason they stepped out of the way.
Yeah, I absolutely think so. And they, despite even their conspiracy theories that we timed the Goldman Sachs wrongdoing exactly to coincide with this, just to make them look bad.
The accusations that have come from the other side are continue to just be the smoke screens that they are, to hide behind the fact that they are not on the side of consumers, that Democrats have been pushing to make sure that we can focus on Main Street, that we can finally establish some balance when it comes to financial regulatory reform, that we can guarantee that taxpayers will never again be able to be asked to bail out a big bank, make sure that there's no bank that's too big to fail. And we have to make the system more transparent so that we can catch bankers' excesses, and we've got to establish some regulation, because allowing the fox to wash the hen house, which is the way the regulatory scheme worked under the Republicans, got us into this mess in the first place.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems to me that, you know, like Senator Shelby, I mean, when you're coming out and sort of saying, well, my problem is there's too much, consumer protection in this consumer protection clause. You're like,
yeah,
really?
To me, and to the constituents that I represent who are still struggling to get banks to work out mortgages with them and let them stay in their homes, and who small businesses in my district who are struggling to get lines of credit, they wonder where their bailout is, and wonder why the Republicans are continuing to protect the interests of big businesses and big banks, and not their interests. Because I can't tell you how many times I've had a constituent stand up at a meeting or stop me on the street and say, Debbie, where's my bailout? So,
yep.
What I am proud of with the TARP legislation last year is that the banks and major corporations have been paying that back in full, the TARP funds that they have accepted. And to date, the United States government has made $20 billion in interest as a result, on top of the TARP funds that we spent. So the American people need to know that the TARP program actually has not cost us anything. We've actually made $20 billion.
Right, and I think that, you know, and that can't be said often enough, Congresswoman, because I think you're right. People just, you know, Republicans put out talking points over the last year, and people just keep repeating them, and they don't realize stuff like that.
Well, we need to get the word out ourselves. I mean, it is important to know that the TARP funds were an important component of getting our economy, you know, away from, you know, to back away from the edge of the cliff. And now we need to help people understand that not only did those companies and banks pay it back with interest, we've made $20 billion in the process. And now we have additional revenues that we can use to reinvest in, for example, the hardest hit fund, which is a fund that is going to help homeowners in 10 states be able to remain in their homes, the states that have been the hardest hit by the economy and the economic downturn and the foreclosure crisis that a lot of those states are facing. And my state is one of those.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that's the fight we have to keep fighting, you know, especially as we approach the midterms. I just saw a poll saying that, you know, Americans by a slight majority don't think the stimulus has worked. And it's like, well, you know, quantitatively it has, but if you're not one of the people that got one of those jobs, then it doesn't work for you. If you're still one of the 10% out of work, correct?
And, the Recovery Act has gone a long way towards turning our economy around. We've literally gone from last January when President Obama took office, the economy was bleeding 700,000 plus jobs. We had a situation where it was spiraling out of control, and we literally had to rescue the economy from the potential of another Great Depression. To last month, in March, We now added 167,000 jobs, 123,000 of which were private sector jobs. The economy has improved. Manufacturing for the last 8 months has steadily increased. The GDP has gone from a negative to a positive of 5.7% in the last quarter. So there's a lot of good economic indicators that show we're moving in the right direction, but you're right. We have a long way to go, and if you aren't the one that has gotten a job and remain out of work, then it's fantastic that things are getting better. But unless they're getting better for you, it doesn't have the same impact. So that's why we're going to keep pushing.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz, you are a woman of the people, and that is evidenced by that you let your constituents yell, "Hey, Debbie," at you, which I would never do. Randy Rhodes would, but I respect you and fear you too much.
Thank you very much.
There she goes. The Honorable Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
Bye. Take
there
care.
She goes. Hi. Listen, you would fear her, too, if you had to debate her back during the primary.
Yeah, which you did.
Oof. All right. 40, I'm just glad we're on the same side now. 46 minutes after the hour, back with what happened on financial reform yesterday on the Senate floor. Celebrity Stack, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Huh. That was kind of cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour, Representative Kendrick Meek apologizes. He was doing something with the president or
whatever.
He was at a funeral today,
yes.
And so we will reschedule him. He is the Democrat in the race, the new three-way between Charlie Crist and Marco Rubio. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to say Marco.
Rubio, yeah. Okay. Well, what was that all about?
I don't know. Jeez. I never say it normal.
I know. You're a bit premature there. Maybe you need that new pill.
The pill?
Yeah.
I believe I prematurely announced it. I think it doesn't come out till tomorrow. Okay. All right. The Republicans ended their hissy fit, although, as Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz said, it was worse than a hissy fit, and she knows she's the mother of two toddlers.
Yeah.
I love this. They blocked it for three times. They blocked it, even letting us talk about financial reform, contending they needed more time to, quote, work out compromises with Democrats in private talks, meaning water it down so that it's more Wall Street friendly.
In backroom deals? Were they suggesting that they were taking part in backroom deals?
What? The president yesterday.
And I want to work with anyone, Republican or Democrat, who wants to pursue these reforms in good faith. And there can be some legitimate differences on certain issues, but the bottom line is consumers have to be protected. We have to end bailouts. We've got to make sure that these trading practices are out in the open. We've got to make sure that people have a say in terms of how these firms operate so they're more accountable. So as long as we're adhering to those clear principles, then I feel okay.
President in Iowa, I finally found something I disagree with him on. He had a rhubarb pie.
Oh, I love it. Especially strawberry rhubarb pie. Oh, my God,
rhubarb,
is that good.
The worst pie ever.
What? What are you doing? You're crazy.
It's tart. It's not even like pie.
Oh, my God.
The president yesterday.
What I don't want is a deal made that is written by the financial industry lobbyists. We've had enough of that. We've had enough of that. I want to listen to what they have to say, but I don't want them writing the bill. I don't want Democrats and Republicans agreeing to a bill written by them, for them. I want a bill that's written for you, for the American people.
Jim Yertle, Republican.
Mitch McConnell.
Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader.
Part turtle.
He said, now that those bipartisan negotiations have ended, oh, stop it, Yertle, bipartisan. You mean you being obstructionist asshats as usual and us trying to move something forward. It is my hope the majority's avowed interest in improving this legislation on the Senate floor is genuine and that partisan gamesmanship is over.
So,
shush.
Yertle was trying to turn the entire country on its back.
Oh, yes, shush.
Exactly. So that it couldn't go anywhere.
I think Yertle is sensitive about being caught in a net once as a young turtle.
As the world turns, this soap opera...
No, I'm waiting. I'm looking for a cut seven. Senator Yertle, Senator Mitch McConnell yesterday.
In particular, there's growing concern that in an effort to hold Wall Street accountable, this bill could catch the little guys up in the same net as the big banks.
That's right. Obama doesn't care about the little guys. He's just trying to get back.
I think as a little turtle, he was picked up in a little net when they had to change stuff inside his terrarium.
How is the little guy going to be affected by legislation affecting these huge banks?
They're not. Yeah. Okay. Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
As the world turns, this soap opera is never going to end, I guess. And I want everyone here in the Senate to know that the negotiations that we hear so much about are never going to end. We've got to get on this bill.
All right.
Well, I think we need to slow down, because slow and steady wins the race, as everyone knows. Unless you're knocked on your back. I mean, you know, you just kind of sit there and wiggle your feet. Nothing happens. Hope someone gets you some lettuce.
We could not get enough of the Mitch McConnell looks like a turtle humor. All right. Let's finish. Let's finish with a little celebrity stack and Pickles Bush's new book, Laura Bush. Who poisoned the Bushes?
Alleged. Well,
Secret Service says they got a virus. Whatever.
It could just have been a virus.
Yes. Who are the main suspects, though? Somebody wrote Vladimir Putin. You know, poisoning.
He's
practically a Russian national pastime.
Yeah.
The Minister of Japan may have been looking for payback for the time George H.W. Bush ralphed on him. Or Angela Merkel, you know, with the inappropriate back rub and all.
Yeah.
I will show you George Bush. I would give you a virus that would make you cut your guts out.
And then she also talked about, the time I killed that guy.
Know that.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Not Angela. Never, but,
not Angela.
Laura Bush. Wow.
Turns out the sign was too small.
Yeah, did you see that? You know how the Bushes always tend to blame someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. He was driving the wrong kind of car, the ex-boyfriend, apparently.
Ah.
She said she and a girlfriend were hurrying to a drive-in theater when Mrs. Bush at the wheel of her father's Chevy Impala ran a stop sign and smashed into it. This was the guy that Mike Douglas, he was a student, he was the boyfriend that just broke up with her?
Hmm.
She concedes she and her friend were chatting when she ran the stop sign, but she also suggests a host of factors beyond her control played a role. The pitch-black road and unusually dangerous intersection, the small size of the stop sign, and the car that the victim was driving.
It's a kind of the magnet in it that attracts Chevy Impalas.
Apparently, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It was a Corvair, and I guess the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration investigated
it. Speed.
Right, but it didn't reach those same conclusions that Ralph Nader did.
Hmm.
She said, I was driving my dad's much larger and heavier Chevy Impala. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, she did. So she did not attend the funeral. Her parents didn't want her to show up at the funeral, and she ended up sleeping through it.
Yeah.
That's
awful.
Yeah, my boyfriend made two mistakes, driving a Corvair and breaking up with me.
Oh, dear.
Jim Louise Ward. We don't have any information about that. But perhaps that was the defect. It had one of those magnets that attracts your dad's Chevy Impala. Okay. Wow. That's a lot of...
Spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I think he died of a virus before the car hit him.
That's what it was.
I'm just saying, can you imagine if Michelle Obama had run over her ex-boyfriend? Do you think they would have made a little bit of that during the last campaign? Maybe. All right, that's it for us today. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, Boyd Dwight, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.